Well, hello. On today's episode, one man's struggle with insomnia, the perils of healthy eating, and finally, tales of mirth and mayhem.
I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And I'm Colin Kakamas.
And you just got to the good part. Strap in and sit tight, because we are boldly going nowhere.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Justin Eisenstadt, and I am once again back and boldly going nowhere on this third day of March 2010. It's a Wednesday, and it's been over 2 weeks since I have taken the trip. It's been busy, as you might expect. Certain things have prevented me from recording an episode, and I'm now making up for lost time here. Let's see what have you missed in my life? Part of the reason, the last episode that I brought to you was right sort of as Snowpocalypse was winding down, and we'd had over a week off from classes, so as you might imagine, they compensated and piled a whole crap ton of work on our asses, and so the first week back was pretty hectic, along with other matters going on, fraternal business and just personal stuff. I'd like to share a personal event with you. On the February 20th, I celebrated 6 months of being in a relationship. And Lena and I went to the Melting Pot in Colombia, which was fan-fucking-tastic. I gotta say, best meal I've had in a long time, easily. It was definitely the most expensive meal I've had in a long time. But it was worth it. It was worth every penny. And I'm like, you know what? 6 months, that's a pretty special occasion. I'm going to go all out. And, you know, I was flush. I'd just gotten paid the previous day. So I was ready to drop a little bit of dough on a fine dining experience, which included melted cheddar cheese fondue. We got the vegetarian, of course, because Lena's a vegetarian. It was worth it, though. It was still really good, and it was cheaper, actually. The dessert was just out of this world. I mean, we're talking just we had what's called the yin yang, or the yin yang, however it's pronounced, which is white chocolate and dark chocolate mixed together like a yin-yang, so then you've got, like, a dot of white chocolate in the... You know what a yin-yang looks like. It was delicious, and we had, like, chocolate-covered marshmallows, strawberries, and cheesecake, and Rice Krispie squares to dip in it, and, oh, and lest I forget, the salad was, and I'm not exaggerating, the best salad I've ever had in my entire life. It was the Alpine something... salad. It had like three different type of cheeses, like Gruyere and other cheeses I can't even pronounce. It was scrumptious. It was simply scrumptious. But I'm probably making you hungry. I know I'm making Tim a little hungry. By the way, I got Tim with me. This is actually, I think, is this the first time you've been in the co-pilot's chair?
Yep, I've usually sit outside and make fun of you guys, but tonight Gary's not here, so I had to come in.
And occasionally you'll be on the bed and make snide remarks. Today you actually get to make snide remarks directly to our listening audience, if we have one. let's not get all self-deprecating there. I've
the
got
microphone's
fans
listening to us.
I've got almost 100 fans on Facebook. I'm sure at least a few of those actually listen. Yeah, I know you're not a fan.
I'm not a fan, and I'm still not also a fan of the Very Thin Ice.
Oh. Well, you know what? Nobody's perfect. But I'm not perfect either, folks. Yeah, obviously
you're
not.
You're Jewish. Of course you're not.
Obviously not, as I've missed 2 weeks of BGN. That's what we insiders like to call the show. This is actually... It's interesting. that Tim, this is the first time Tim has actually been on an officially been on an episode of Boldly Going Nowhere, because Tim and I have been on the radio here on the campus. So we've done, I'll let you speak. I'll let you get in on this. Jump in and tell them what's going on. What's up?
Well, we've got our own show we're doing together now. It's called the The Octodome, and it's a music show that we have together Fridays 4 to 5, sometimes 4 to 6, depending. And then we also have the other show.
Well, yes, I'll explain this. See, we've uncovered secret transmissions left behind by mysterious individuals who call themselves veterans of the psychic wars. It's pretty disturbing, but kind of balls out awesome. Because
both balls out.
Both balls completely out.
In the open.
Well, it's because they like to take risks.
Hmm?
You don't survive. They didn't survive the psychic wars by keeping their balls tucked in nice and neat where no one could get at them.
No, they actually probably just use their psychic powers. I don't think you need your balls.
But
I would have put my balls out, personally.
Well, as far as I know, the source of their psychic...
Unless they were using the Schwartz.
...abilities, exactly, comes from their downstairs boys. I don't know. I know the tagline for veterans of the psychic wars is their minds were destroyed, but their taste in music survived, and they've got pretty awesome taste in music.
Yeah,
but
they're good.
They can. We basically have made it our civic obligation to share these transmissions with the world, to let the people know what happened there, because surprisingly enough, not many people know about the psychic wars. And what a devastating effect they had.
It's tragic.
It is quite tragic. Did you lose any relatives in the psychic wars?
Three.
Three?
Just three.
Okay.
But unfortunately, it was a 3-on-3 fight, so my team lost.
Oh, rough. Rough stuff. That's...
Well, it was... Yeah. It was pretty bad. I was on the other team, so, I mean, I guess, like, I lost because my family died, but, like, I won... No, let's move on.
It was okay. It was you against your family.
Yeah, it was
you and your boys.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird.
Oh, some straight up civil war.
Like I basically like the civil war and the psychic war just need to not be together.
I mean, just look at your young men dying and look at your women crying.
And Tim, the old man polishing his shoes in
Tim,
the alley.
Tim, history will bear the scars of our civil war.
Jeez, you're telling me.
But you know what?
Completely ignoring that.
If you want to hear the great. You're on here 5 minutes and you're already giving me guff on my own show.
Technically, I've been here for 8.5 minutes now.
You don't exist until I acknowledge your existence, Dan. I can send you right back into the ether from which you came. I will send you back from whence you came. Cast you into the fires. But I'm not, because I'm a nice guy.
Appreciate it.
I'm an amicable host, and you know what? I've got to host 2 other shows with you, so I think I need to get in the habit of...
By the way, folks, because obviously this is going to be up before tonight, the transmission of the Veterans of the Psychic Wars will be tonight at 11 o'clock.
Yes, tonight...
Every tonight, in fact.
Yes, tonight is, as I said, it's Wednesday today. Every Wednesday at 11 o'clock... you'll be able to tune in to wmbc.umbc.edu and stream those transmissions straight into your ear holes. So yeah, you should tune into our other crap. We'll have links up on the Facebook page for this site, for this show, I mean, and we're in the works of getting the podcast feeds set up for those other two shows, as well as Facebook pages for them. So that you can continue to bask in our glory. But for now, I want to ask you something, because let me see. I don't know what I'm going to try and put this in the most polite way possible.
Okay,
Tim. But
yep,
you look like shit that's been dipped in other shit.
Wow.
That's not an insult.
Wow, dude.
You're
butt fugly, but you're kind of cute.
No. You're a handsome motherfucker. You're a good-looking guy. The issue is that you look physically depleted.
Well, that will happen sometimes.
I'm a little concerned for your sake.
No. I actually know completely what's going on here.
Please enlighten me. Please enlighten me.
Sure. Yesterday and night before, I haven't slept in 2 days.
Why?
I couldn't sleep. I couldn't do it.
Is this turning into the plot of the book Insomnia by Stephen King?
God, I hope not. I don't know.
Are you going to start receiving messages from the Crimson King?
I actually just read about that on Wikipedia today. I didn't know that was real.
Which book?
I didn't realize that. I'd heard of some novel referencing King Crimson or the Crimson King. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I didn't realize it was true until I was reading the Fripp page. Then I went to the King Crimson page, and then I saw Stephen King, and I was like, "What?" And I read it.
So you've been doing some wiki hunting.
Actually, that's pretty much all I've been doing. I've been awake for 2 days, and all I've been doing is sitting on Wikipedia.
So
it's like high school again. It's nice.
In lieu of physical replenishment, you've just been replenishing
my brain.
Your brain with knowledge about,
and my eyes with X-rays.
Okay,
so that's why they're bloodshot.
All right.
No other reason.
Look, I believe you. I trust you.
No, I'm serious though.
I'm just concerned. You know, I think you were saying some pretty wacky shit earlier. It's just that could you repeat here if you're willing and able what you were telling me about the sort of transcendent out of body experience you were having earlier?
God, that sucked. I'm going to turn the mic to me so I can do this.
Go right ahead.
So I'm walking to class this morning. I'm already late at this point because I'm like, where's my iPod? And I'm moving at the speed of a shit coming out of a frozen turd out of a fat kid's asshole. Right. This is a. Oh God, I'm dying.
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, right. I know.
So frozen turds go.
Frozen turds, and I'm looking for my iPod, which I still have not found. It's been 6 hours, and I finally get out the door, and I forgot my coffee, which was kind of a bummer.
You actually called me on
my phone.
I do remember. If I would bring you the cup of coffee
when you came down
with the coffee still in it.
Yeah, when you came down, not then. When you came down for lunch.
It wasn't the matter of timing that was an issue. It was the idea of me walking down the hill holding just a mug.
No, with it was in
coffee
the,
in it.
It was the silver mug that has the lid on it. You could have tossed it to yourself if you wanted to.
Oh, you said bring you your mug.
I drink coffee out of a mug. Never mind. We're not going to get into that. I've been on the other parts of the internet too, but never mind.
It's a matter of semantics.
Right.
To me, the image of me walking just having to make sure I don't spill the coffee out of this mug, which would be
No.
Gross
I,
by the
yeah,
time
yeah, yeah,
I got
no,
it.
I feel bad about that now. Now that you're calling me out on it, I do feel kind of bad.
I'm not calling you out on it per se.
I don't mean you're being a jerk about it. I'm just saying now that I'm thinking about it, that was an absurd request.
I'm being a little condescending, but it's okay.
No, I deserved it. It didn't really matter to me. I was in another world.
All right. Well, tell me about this world.
It was weird. So I'm walking down the hill, at UMBC, so we're up at the top of the hill, and the way I walk usually, you go straight down the street next to the library, but then I hook around behind the library instead of going around it, and I like to walk next to the pond every day when I walk. It's just, it's an aesthetic thing.
It's pleasing.
Yeah, it's nice. So I'm walking, and the wind's blowing pretty hard, and I'm watching, the water ripple, so I'm just staring into the water as I'm walking around. And then when I finally, pull my head up and look up, all of a sudden my peripheral vision is still, shaking just as much. And I just,
freaked out. Like, I was terrified, and I couldn't, like, there's no way I was going to be able to sit still and, like, go to a class. Like, I had to go sit in the commons and just relax for, like, 20 minutes, and then I came back.
Okay, yeah.
It was really weird.
It was a little worrying, and definitely not discrediting the idea that you're in the story Insomnia, because next thing you know, the next step for you is you're going to start seeing tethers connected to people, just invisible, incorporeal, glowing tethers connecting to people's heads. That's your next. Then you're going to see three little midget dudes.
Oh.
You're going to see three little midget dudes.
I actually saw a midget in the commons the other day.
Was he carrying a giant pair of scissors?
No.
Okay, so you're okay. So it was probably a real midget and not a...
No, it was a real midget. I kicked him.
Okay.
He was real.
You kicked... All right, that's the test.
Yeah, absolutely.
if you can kick it, it's real. At least as far as little people are concerned.
Can I kick it?
All right, so basically, don't worry about midgets or dwarves. Unless they're carrying scissors. I mean, that's a pretty good lesson for anyone.
Yeah, definitely.
If you see a little person carrying scissors, go up and kick them to make sure they're real and not about to cut someone's tether to this mortal coil.
That was really deep. I couldn't follow that. I still haven't slept.
I understand. But, you know what? I think that'll do it for the intro. Let's give the official high five to end the intro. Nice! And now we'll move on to our first segment, which is, of course, Fun Fact.
Fun Fact!
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whistling man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
Who is that man with the ball?
Why, it's Pope John Paul II, of course.
Huh?
That's right. Today's fun fact is this. In 2000... Pope John Paul II became an honorary Harlem Globetrotter. He was made an honorary member of the comedic basketball troupe in Vatican City on Wednesday, November 29th, 2000. He was presented with his own autographed basketball and his own named and numbered jersey. Guess what number Pope John Paul II is?
I'm going to guess... What's a Catholic number?
I don't know. What are Catholic
numbers? 69.
69? Close. Number 75.
Oh, I have another guess.
Okay.
No, I don't.
What's your... Okay. Yeah. Basically, the Globetrotters were celebrating their 75th anniversary. We bring a message of hope to kids around the world. Sorry, that's a message of hope.
I was going to say what?
Kids around the world. Meeting the Pope, what's the message? In focus.
It is pretty funny that on this page, though, Hope and Pope are, like, pretty close to directly above each other.
Yeah, they're pretty much, yeah.
It's almost a layer.
Sync up, exactly.
It's almost like a Hope-Pope sandwich.
So, Jackson being,
Manny Jackson.
Yes, of course.
Owner and chairman of the Harlem Globetrotters.
There's his name. I couldn't find it because I'm still focusing on the Pope. Manny Jackson, the players flew to Rome specifically for the audience with the Pope before returning to the United States later that day. That's a lot of flying in one day. But what's interesting is the Globetrotters are, as you all of course know, the most traveled team in basketball history, having played thousands of exhibition games in 115 countries. How many exhibition games has the Pope played? You with us?
I have no idea.
You have no idea? I don't know either.
I didn't realize the Pope played Pope games. I thought the,
Pope games! Always doing what you told. Pope games! Not to be outdone, John Paul has visited 122 countries during his 22-year papacy. And that, friends...
You know how I read that word when I first looked at papacy?
How?
I saw a U instead of an A for the first one. I thought of, like, a pupa.
Cat, right.
Like a cocoon.
Oh, right.
That when he's a cardinal, like, maybe the Pope, before he becomes a Pope, like, the cardinal goes into, like, a shell when the Pope dies. Like, all the cardinals who aren't gonna win, like, become immersed in the shell.
Are you talking about the Arizona Cardinals?
No. I'm talking about Pope Sidious.
Oh, okay. He does look like he probably should have spent a little more time in that cocoon. I don't think...
No, or either that or he spent too much time in fermented.
Yeah, either too little or too much time in his cocoon, because Pope Ratzen, what, Ratzenberger, what's his name? Is that it? Something German.
Yeah, it's probably like sauerkraut or something.
Pope Sauerkraut and the Arizona Cardinals. And that is today's fun fact. All right, well, that was a good old heaping slice of edutainment right there, I'd say. Wouldn't you, Tim?
I yeah.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would.
Wouldn't you?
Yes.
yeah. I hope you all enjoyed that. That was the
Please
official,
get your hands off me.
That was the official Harlem Globetrotters song, which is called Sweet Georgia Brown. In that accent, of course. And now, it's time for the next segment. It's ridiculous news items of the day.
Shit's getting way too complicated for me.
You're absolutely right, Obama. Shit is getting way too complicated. Let's start with the first one. And as co-host, you may not be aware of this, but it's actually your job.
Oh.
This is kind of your duty. Your responsibility as being co-host on the show is that you get to read the headlines for the ridiculous news items of the day.
The nude items?
Ridiculous.
Are we about to watch porn?
Considering the first word in this headline is child, I hope not.
Well, my girlfriend just turned 18.
All right. Glad you can be honest with us and forthcoming, but just read the damn news item, Tim.
All right, child hurt. How do you pronounce that next word?
On.
Oh, child hurt on tape directing planes at JFK.
Okay.
Would you like me to read that normally this time?
Could you?
Child hurt on tape directing planes at JFK airport.
All right. So what's going on here, Tim? What's going on? What is this shit too complicated for Obama?
Can Obama fly a plane?
I don't think so, but I think he can just fly.
Well, he can fly. That's true. So. He's a Democrat.
All right. Well,
his lower sense of gravity.
At New York's JFK Airport, directing planes is mere child's play. Like what I did there.
Did you see what I did with that? Like that was so corny. You must have read that. Where does it say that?
I couldn't possibly have come up with that.
I just hope you didn't. Like that's terrible.
No. This is an article, of course, coming to us from our friends at AOL News by contributor Mara Gay. So, apparently, Boston News Station uncovered an audio clip of what is clearly a child's voice. No doubt about that.
I'm just reading this through now.
It's a lot funnier when you actually read the news.
Like, I just listened to you tell me about it earlier.
As opposed to just read the headline.
Yeah, yeah.
So apparently it must have been like take your daughter, or I guess to be PC, take your child to work day. And this child's dad had one of the coolest jobs ever, which is, of course, air traffic controller. I think I read somewhere, or someone told me, and this is a potential runner-up fun fact, is that air traffic controllers actually have like... one of the highest paid, like, normal, like, day jobs that there is. Wow!
I never would have guessed.
Boy, howdy! Yeah, no, I don't know. I'm just pulling shit out of my ass. I don't know. But I do know is that...
go wash your hands, please.
You can hear... No, I sterilize them.
Okay, fair enough.
I wear gloves when I'm doing things. You can actually hear... audio, and I'm about to play it for you in a second. You can actually hear it's a child giving planes the all clear to take off and land. Something that you probably don't want in the hands of a prepubescent individual.
A pupa?
You do not want a pupil stage person, human being. You don't want some little shit... directing your air traffic, all right? Because let me put it this way. The key word in air traffic controller is control. And if the air traffic controller in question can't even control his own bladder, how do you expect him to control air traffic. Let me stop rambling and play the clip, the news clip, for you of this trial.
Just play the damn clip.
JetBlue 171, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, JetBlue 171. Let's see, Air Mexico 403 Kennedy, I'm going through left position hold.
Position hold, Air Mexico 403.
This is what you get, guys, when the kids are out of school.
I can bring my kid to work.
JetBlue 171, contact departure.
Over to departure, JetBlue 171. Awesome job.
Thanks, have a good day.
03, clear for takeoff.
403, clear to takeoff. Thank you very much. You have a great day.
JetBlue 195, County Tavern, with 3 and left position and hold.
3 and left position and hold, JetBlue 195.
AMAX 403, contact departure, adios.
Contact departure, Idle Mexico 403, adios.
195 with 31013, and we 3-1 left, clear for takeoff.
Clear for takeoff, 3-1 left, JetBlue 195.
JetBlue 2, I'm sorry, Delta 216, Kennedy runway 3-1 left, position and hold.
Just hold, 3-1 left, Delta 216.
Contact departure, adios amigos.
Adios amigos, over to departure, JetBlue 195.
Alright, in all seriousness, I don't really see what the fuss is about. I mean, you heard the tape. It's not like the kid was in there by himself. It's not like his dad just came into work like, kid, I'm really hungover today. I need you to put on this headset and take this microphone and make sure planes don't crash. No, there were like three other dudes in the booth. Like, it's not like this kid was actually...
Those are the pilots who are talking to him.
No, but I'm pretty sure there's other controllers in the booth with him.
You don't hear anyone else talk to him, though. You only hear the pilot's responses.
No, I'm pretty certain that he's not in there by himself, though.
Oh, no, of course he's not. He has to get the key. Children can't carry keys. They eat them.
No, there were other controllers in there, because the guy who's like, that's what you get, guys, when the kids are out of school. And then the other guy's like, might have to bring my kid to work. Yeah, those are other air traffic controllers. So it's not, the kid was definitely.
I see.
So, and we know that for a fact.
I see. I see what you're saying now.
But the Federal Aviation Administration has this to say. They, of course, require air traffic controllers to be licensed and also to wear big boy pants. That's paraphrasing.
I guess I can't do it.
Yeah, no, you got to be wearing big boy pants. Big boy pants and a license.
So my booty shorts don't count?
No. Oh, hell no. Oh, hell no. Booty shorts are not acceptable. Neither is this behavior. Quotes the FAA in a statement to the New York Daily News, "This behavior is not acceptable and does not demonstrate the kind of professionalism expected from all FAA employees." The Air Traffic Controller Union... I guess everybody's got a union. Told the news that what happened in the tower is not indicative of the highest professional standards that controllers set for themselves and exceed each and every day in the advancement of aviation safety. I don't know why I'm giving them all these ridiculous accents.
I didn't even notice.
Best quote of the article, though, definitely goes to John Del Signore of the Gothamist blog. And I'm going to give you the honor of reading this, because this is easily the best. This is easily the best quote in the article.
"That's almost as funny as the time the air traffic controller was joshing around about barbecuing a cat moments before that fatal plane collision over the Hudson."
So maybe they were on their way to Peru.
Oh,
or China.
Ooh. Yeah, no, if it was Peru, it'd be guinea pigs.
I'm sorry, that's true.
Yeah.
How ignorant of me.
How ignorant indeed.
Might I say ignorant?
I wouldn't, but it was pretty ignorant. I just wouldn't put it that way. To be honest, what the shit?
Yeah, no, I'm liking the next, the sponsored link thing here. 50-year-old mom looks 40.
Question mark? I'm not going to click on sponsored links. None. Instead, I'm going to move on to the next ridiculous news item. Actually, the next one is not a ridiculous news item. It's actually a pretty awesome news item. I just public service announcement for you all.
You realize this doesn't help anybody because they won't hear the show today. But we can tell them and make them feel bad that they waited till they listened to the show to hear it.
All right, okay. Instead of a public service announcement, this is going to be a public make jealous announcement. I don't know. But if you're listening to the, if somehow this like this gets posted in time and you're listening to this today,
well, maybe, why don't
Wednesday,
we yell,
March 3rd.
Why don't we yell a little louder so that Matt can hear us next door?
All right.
Or maybe we should send a smoke signal down to Matt Eller.
If you go to Ben and Jerry's today only and go in there and say, way to go, Hannah, because this promotion is to congratulate Olympian Hannah Teeter for bringing home the silver medal in the women's snowboarding halfpipe, then you can get a whole scoop of Hannah's Maple Blondie for just $1.
I'll take a scoop of that.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, no.
It's maple ice cream with a maple caramel swirl and blonde brownie chunks.
Can I just have the girl? I'm lactose intolerant.
Yeah, I guess.
Sweet.
I see no reason in trafficking in women, particularly Olympic athletes.
And that's the best type to traffic.
Guess what? You own her now. You now own...
I haven't paid them the dollar yet.
For a limited time only, while supplies last.
For a nominal service charge.
Right. For a nominal fee, you can own Olympic silver medalist Hannah Teeter. And
great.
God knows what you're going to do.
Probably ask her how it was.
All right. Probably have her teach you to snowboard.
If that's what you want to call it. So moving on.
Moving on. Tim,
now,
headline.
This is pretty fascinating, just because I'm a huge football fan.
That's why I thought I'd let you take this one.
Yeah. So I don't know if anyone's heard of this guy, but the headline is, Fascinating Myron Roll Out to Prove His NFL Worth. If you don't know who Myron Roll is, he, who is it, like maybe 2 years ago, he came out of Florida State.
Yep, Florida State.
Okay, yeah, Florida State. And he went to he was a Rhodes Scholar. He passed up going into the NFL draft to go to Oxford?
Yeah,
okay,
you go to Oxford to get a degree in medical anthropology.
So I've actually been reading on NFL.com about this lately. He wants to come in, be a safety for like 8 to 10 years, and then after he feels like he's played or so. You know, played enough. Like mm-hmm. He wants to quit, and then go be a neurosurgeon.
Yeah. Oh,
the dude's incredibly brilliant, and he's a really damn good football player. Like if you watched him in college at all, like he's the perfect man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It says. Yeah. He says, I want to go to medical school and practice to be a neurosurgeon. I read a book by Ben Carson, a doctor at Johns Hopkins, who inspired me to want to go into neurosurgery. Go to med school. Practice medicine here in the United States, and take my expertise to other parts of the world, in particular low- to middle-income countries, and help build their infrastructure by understanding the people, the culture, and the customs on the ground level. Well spoken, Myron. Well spoken. In addition, this is interesting, he's created a program for Seminole Indian children to help educate them on the importance of physical fitness.
Probably because he went to FSU.
That makes sense. Here's a question. Are there any, like... good Native American players in the NFL? Or any period?
I don't know. The only like tidbit I know about that sort of thing is I only know about Jews, actually.
Okay.
And I know that there is one... Well, there are like 14 Jews involved in the NFL, and I'm pretty sure only one plays the rest owned teams. Or, you know, have their... you know, make a lot of money off it without having to play sports, if you can imagine a Jew doing that.
No way.
But, yeah, there's one Jew. His name is Sage Rosenfels. He's the backup quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings behind Burt Favre.
Did you say Burt Favre?
He can't have, like, Brett and Favre. Like, he's got to have either... Like, he can't pronounce one name wrong and the other name right. Like, it's got to be either Brett Favre or Favre, or it's Burt Favre.
I'll go with Burt Favre. Let's move on to the final ridiculous news item.
Oh, this is such a...
It's pretty dumb. I mean, it's on a site called Parent Dish. You know it's not a legitimate news outlet. Regardless, orthorexia, healthy eating disorder? Question mark? For those of you who don't know, which I was one of them, orthorexia is actually a term coined by Dr. Stephen Bratman.
I really was hoping you were going to say Dr. Stephen Bruhl.
Dr. Steve Bruhl.
For your health.
To describe people who are obsessed with health food. In his book...
It is for your health.
Yeah. In his book, Health Food Junkies... Sorry. Bratman explains that the term ortho means straight, correct, and true in Greek, and describes orthorexics as fixated on righteous eating. So apparently Bratman is about as helpful as Dr. Steve Bruhl when it comes to...
explaining something that, you know, he's defining the word with the word.
Right, right. So... In particular...
Why is this a disorder? Why isn't this, like, a good order? Just an order?
I think because it's to the point...
that he's not having fun? Fun? Oh, my God. Like, old people are never happy. If we don't eat the vegetables, they get mad. But if we eat too many vegetables, they get pissed, too.
Well, the problem is that eventually their obsession with food choices becomes so restrictive in both variety and calories that their health suffers. And I can understand actually why why people would see this as an issue. Not necessarily the particular obsession itself, but the fact that it is an eating disorder, and it's the kind of psychological impairment that it's causing. It's causing people to have negative relationships with food, even if the food that they have negative relationships with are the positive kinds of food that we're supposed to be eating. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like you'd eat all salad instead of any meat, and you wouldn't get any protein.
Right. Well, that's just vegetarians.
Oh. Huh. I didn't do that on purpose, I promise.
No.
No, I did.
But I mean, it's just like, because their diet, because they limit their diet so much to only just like the most healthiest organic crap, then odds are
you have to have one McDonald's meal a week.
Yeah, I mean,
doctor's orders.
I think that's what we learned from Super Size Me, right? Is that you can't have too little McDonald's fast food. Except a lot of people are going on this whole, like, fast food, like, cutting fast food out of their diet. Like, it's a really popular trend now.
Fast food diet.
To just completely, like, eliminate fast food from their diet.
How can you do that?
Sorry, I just knocked over the microphone. But it's more about the OCD tendencies that this is kind of...
I see. Oh, my God, there's a proclivity. Oh, look at this. What? Laura Collins, executive director of FEAST, Families Empowered in Supporting Treatment of Eating Disorders. Wait, what? They left out ED, so it should be FEASTed.
Yeah, where's the D? Dumbass.
What the hell?
It never ceases to amaze me, the acronyms that people can come up with.
Hold on, see who wrote this. I guarantee you it was a woman.
Well, it's on ParentDish.com.
Oh, absolutely. Honey Burke.
Yeah. Wow, I couldn't have put it better.
Oh God.
Oh, here's some of other, here's some of Honey Burke's other blog entries. To-do list, pick up milk, bread, sperm test.
Wow, I wish we could show you this picture on the air.
I wish you could see what we are seeing, but, as this medium is inherently auditory only.
Men may soon be able to check their sperm count in the comfort of their own home. I'm gonna be honest, I've never felt the need to count my sperm.
Clearly, you've never been around here on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Video games keep boys from reading and writing, comma, study says. does your son know that the road to rescuing Princess Peach is filled with star coins, rolling snowballs, and mega mushrooms, but can't tell you why Alexander is having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day? If so, he's not alone. You know what? Fuck Alexander.
Seriously.
I don't care if he's having the shittiest day ever.
He should probably go play some video games and he'll feel better.
Yeah, you know what? Alexander would probably not be having a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day if he just, you know...
Came in my room and played Mario Kart.
Played Mario Kart or played some Super Mario. Many frozen embryos go unused, study says.
Honey Burke, the study woman.
Honey Burke, get out of here with that nonsense. And that's today's ridiculous news item of the day. All right, well, that's going to do it with all the news, I think. That was a lot of news. Now let's let you enjoy something that's not the sound of our voices, at least for a brief few minutes. Let's take a musical
break. Very brief.
You sound very sullen at that.
Brief!
To all the people who can quest like a tribe does. Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cause getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nipper the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the trial flies high like a dove. Funky behavior. Make a note on the rhythm we gave ya. Feel free, drop your pants, yeah, yeah, hey ya. Do you like the garments that we wear? I instruct you to be the obeyer. A rhythm recipe that you'll savor. Doesn't matter if you're minor or major. Yes, the tribe of the game with a player. As you inhale like a breath of fresh air.
And we're back from that break, back from that musical break. That was A Tribe Called Quest with Can I Kick It? The answer is, I don't know. Can you?
Yes, you can.
All right. Thank you, Tim. Thank you. So in the spirit of us being together, because we've been through a lot, we're going to... we're going to regale you with some of our exploits and introduce a new segment that we're going to call Story Time, sponsored by Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Now that's a name I've not heard in a long time.
Me neither, Ben. Me neither. And here's a story that I haven't told in a long time. A long time. So, this is the story of my perilous escape from the library where I work. For those of you who don't know, I, as my day job, when I'm not in classes or doing this, which I wish could be my day job, I work in the media center, the media department at the Albin O'Koon Library and Gallery, where I rent out DVDs and CDs and other such media items to patrons of the library, of the Albin O'Koon Library and Gallery.
That's a name I haven't heard in a long time. A long time.
So, one day, and I, there will probably be more stories of my time at the library in the future, because despite the fact that it's a library and you wouldn't think very much exciting incidences occur, I have a number of entertaining stories about my time working at the library. I suppose when you work at any place long enough, you accrue some wacky experiences. And this may be, in fact, the wackiest. So, there was this one day, I was working at the library, and we suddenly received information that some sort of high-ranking government official, I want to say it was a senator or something, a senator or maybe, like, someone from the president's cabinet, or some like high-ranking Washington official, I'm not making this up, some like high-ranking government official was going to be passing through campus, and as security measures, they needed to like shut down all public locations on campus, including the library. Well, again, this is about...
Is that really why?
Yes.
I've always wondered why, but
Do you do you remember the day in question? Because they just suddenly closed...
I thought it was like a power outage or something. They were about to have BGE come through.
That actually happened another
day.
That was actually a different day.
Oh, snap.
So there was actually another day where it was like some like high-ranking official was going to be on campus.
And they didn't want to have to play Clue.
Right, they did not.
On the campus.
Well, because we all know the butler's going to do it.
Mr. Green in the library with a revolver.
Yeah, like we don't need any butlering sciences majors out and about with candlesticks.
Yeah, get your BS in butlering sciences.
Yeah, exactly. I came up with that all by myself.
Oh man, I don't want to be a bachelor of science. I want to be
a butler of science. So they suddenly, the word was sent out that all public locations on campus, library, commons, things like that, had to close. Like there could not be anything out in public where, you know, the identity or security of this individual, who I don't even know who it was, they never told us who it was, and I doubt they ever will, would be compromised. So I'm working, I'd just gotten into work, and suddenly we get word that the library is going to be closing in 5 minutes. That's five, like they only gave 5 minutes for every single person to get out of the library. So,
lest you be locked inside forever.
Yeah, so first what happens is this woman comes on the loudspeaker, and I had never heard this woman before, but she was a rather large woman. I know this not from the sound of her voice. I'm not going to claim that I can make that sort of judgment based on tone quality alone.
And girth of the sound waves.
I actually was measuring the girth of her sound waves as they were coming out of the loudspeaker. No, I mean, I'll get to that, because she plays into the story a few seconds. But she comes on, she's like, Folks, the library is going to close in 5 minutes. Y'all need to get out of the library in 5 minutes.
Now, hold on. I realize we're south of the Mason-Dixon line, but we're not that far south of the Mason-Dixon line.
That may have been a slight exaggeration of the way she talked.
Because the second time you've gone into a southern accent.
You know what? All I can say is I'm from Frederick County. It seems that it's just kind of a natural thing for me.
That was ignorant of me.
You know, it's weird. I have had people here tell me, only one person, and she was probably dumb, but it was this woman who was at Shabbat dinner this one time. I think she was like a member of the board or something, the JSU board or something. And she was like, "Where are you from?" I'm like,
Kansas.
"Frederick County." I'm like, "Oh, because you got a little bit of a twang in your voice." I'm like,
That's rude.
A twang? Is it? I don't know if that's an insult to someone.
I'd be offended.
Like, I think that'd be pretty cool if I had a twang in my voice, but I'm pretty sure I don't.
I don't want a twang.
I don't want a twang in my voice.
Why?
Is that a twang?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't have a twang, and I don't think I have a twang either. I mean, if I do, that's the only person who's ever told me that. But point is, apparently I can still do a southern accent pretty well, because I am from that sort of people. And I did live in Kansas and Tennessee for a brief period, but not in any of my formative years.
Yeah, and to be fair, bears are a simple folk.
Bears are simple folk. You were just waiting for me to say that, weren't you?
No, I just wanted to say it. I just remembered that from the camping trip.
Yeah. let me get on with this. So maybe I'm exaggerating her voice. It was kind of panicky. Like that's I wasn't trying to come across as southern. I was trying to come across as like fat, panicky.
Get out of the library.
It was. I'll do it my way. But
all right, do it again. Let's go back into it. Like let's get this.
All right, rewind. So she comes on the loudspeaker, and she's kind of panicky. She's kind of like, folks, library's going to be closing in 5 minutes.
Your name Herbert?
You all need to get out of the library.
There is no girth behind this woman.
I'm doing a different goddamn voice every single time.
Oh.
Like, I can't, no, I'm saying I can't get the voice now. This is ruining my story, but I don't care. So let me get on with it. So we're all like, what the shit? So, because she really did just, like, she did not sound like someone who should normally be talking on a loudspeaker or addressing anyone in public. Let me try it one more time. Folks, get out of the library!
That was good.
There we go. All right, I just got to remember that one. So we're like, okay, apparently we need to close. So we tell everyone, all the students there, all the patrons, like, apparently the library is going to be closing. If you didn't just hear that, whatever that was. I guess we need to close down now. But we like, all the students leave, but we still have to, like, pack things up. We have to shut down the computers. We have to close the department. So at least 5 minutes goes by. And then this old dude comes on, like, this really just laid-back old guy comes on the loudspeaker, and he's like, folks, it's been 5 minutes. The library's gonna be closing now. If you don't want to get trapped inside, I suggest you get out of the library now. All right, have a nice day. And so we're like, I guess we should leave. So we really quickly finish setting up, putting everything away, closing down the department, locking the gate, locking the door. And we all head down there. I'm down there, and I just remembered that I'd left my jacket in the library. So I'm like, quit. I asked my supervisor, like, quit. I need the key real quick. I need to go back up and get my jacket or whatever it was that left. It was like my backpack or something. So I run back up there. Grab the backpack, come back down. When I get back down, everybody is in the lobby area, the atrium area of the library,
right.
And the gate is like halfway down. And that woman, the one who had been on the loudspeaker, is standing right under the gate on the other side. And she sees me, and she starts waving to me. She, like, really, like, this panicked expression on her pudgy little face. And her beady little eyes are bulging out at me, and she starts waving at me. She's like, hurry up, get out of the library, it's closing. I'm just like, I don't speed up in the slightest. I'm just like, try not to burst out laughing at this. I'm just like, I felt like Indiana Jones. Like, am I gonna have to roll under the gate and like reach back and pull my backpack?
I actually
under?
Was gonna ask if when you grabbed your backpack, if you like said to yourself, this belongs in a museum.
I often do. I walk under the, like, they there's nothing, like, she's the only one there. Like, everyone else is just kind of nonchalantly standing. Just, hurry up! I'm just kind of like, I step in up my pace, maybe just ever so slightly, but I don't run or in any way act like I'm in a hurry. And so I just kind of walk under the gate finally, and I just kind of like give her this look. And she's just heaving, like the sheer act of shouting at me and waving her arms had exerted her so much that she was now out of breath. That's how, like, panicky this woman was. And
That's terrifying.
It was pretty scary, and I just walked out and did not look back, and I wish I could say that I've had run-ins with this woman again, but I've never seen her again. She's never, I don't think she's allowed to speak on the loudspeaker anymore, I'm guessing. But that is easily the craziest thing I've had happen to me while I worked at the library. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. All right, well, that's I think it's only fair, since I shared a personal tale of my own. Tim, you got anything good cooking for us?
Hang on a sec. Let me check my pockets.
All right.
Oh, here's a tasty treat from days long gone.
All right.
So, let me put you back in the scene real quick. Freshman year. Nope, sophomore year. I was wrong.
Sophomore year.
And I'm chilling over at my friend Doug's place. And Doug and I, we're pretty chill, like, but we don't see eye to eye on one issue, and that's the way to get inebriated. He does one thing, I do something else, and neither of us ends up fucked up because we don't do that. But so one of us was one was the other. I'm not sure who was who. And I'm not sure who was driving either, but I. So
that's
I'm
off a good start.
So right, so I'm in my car, and we're driving to 7-Eleven. And when I pull up, by the way, I worked at a 7-Eleven for 3 years through high school, and the first 4 years almost, actually, the first 2 years of high school, last 2 years of high school, first 2 years of college.
So you've probably got some pretty good stories from that then too.
Oh my God, I have some great stories, but this is a good
we'll
one.
Save it for
this is a really good one. Okay. So I pull up to 7-Eleven, and the guy who works the overnight is named. Oh, it's like maybe 11:30 midnight. It's got to be at least midnight, actually.
Right.
Okay, it's after midnight.
Setting the scene.
And we come up there, and you know, Mike's standing outside smoking a cigarette, and I'm like, "Yo, what's up, Mike?" He's like, "Hey, Tim, how you doing?" I'm like, "You know, all right." And Doug and I notice these two kids sitting out in front of 7-Eleven on the window ledge, which is not the strangest thing, but you know, it's late, and the thing I notice about these kids is that their clothes are like cut up and there's like blood all over their legs and like hands and stuff, and I was just like,
Did they have a street urchin look about them? Did they have a Dickensian look?
They were more of a street cucumber, actually.
Oh, okay.
So I walk inside and I'm like, okay, that's weird, there's just two kids there, don't touch my car. I used to drive a 1995 Plymouth Acclaim. Beautiful car. For me to poop on! But, I go inside, and Mike's, like, following me. I'm curious, like, because he only does that when he has something to tell me. Like, this is just sort of how Mike is. He's an interesting fella. And he's, like, 45 and works at a 7-Eleven. You know he's an interesting fella.
Okay.
So, I turn around, like, Mike's, you know, obviously about to talk to me. I'm like, yo, what's up? He's like, so you trying to make, like, an extra $50 tonight? I was like, how? He points to the two kids, and he's like, yo, they need
Drop
a ride.
Drop your pants.
He's like, they need a ride. And I was like, well, I like to drive. So I go outside, and I'm like,
money.
I like money more.
Is this the dude with the mustache?
No, this isn't Jerry. That's
okay.
Jerry, oh my God. Quick aside real quick. No, it's not. Yeah, this is funny. Even if you don't know Jerry, this will still be funny. So, picture a 55-year-old mumbling and bushy mustache, and he works the overnight, and always is like, that's how he talks. So, one night I come in, and I'm buying, you know, every time I come in, I get like a Arnold Palmer half and half light. It's the best beverage you can get at 7-Eleven. And I come up to the counter and set it down. And Jerry sees me from across the store and, like, sort of waddles over to the register. And as soon as, like, he picks up my tea to, like, ring it in, like, I sort of, like, jump over the counter, like, halfway. And I'm like, I will fight you! And he, like, freaked out. It was so goofy. Like, I mean, he knows me, so it wasn't like he was mad. But, like, he just did not see that coming, and I didn't fight him. But I would have beat him because he was scared as shit. Anyway,
just the element of surprise. Was
absolutely. Like, I mean, it was like a sneak attack from the front. Like, that's how good I am.
Full frontal. Return to your tent.
So, okay, so I go out to these two kids. I'm like, Mike tells me you guys need a ride. And they're like, yeah, we live... I was like, well, where do you guys live? Like, start easy. Where am I going? They're like, well, we're from Howard County. I was like, how the hell are you here when you live in Howard County? And they're like, we had to run from some cops. And I was just like, all right, get in the back seat, and you're going to explain to me at least, like, a minute of what's going on. Because, mind you, remember, I may or may not have been inebriated in some form. So this is sort of exceptionally goofy to me. And we are
in Baltimore County.
This is Catonsville, right down the street from my house. Like, I worked within walking distance of my home. It was great. What did they tell me? I remember this now. Okay, so here's their story that they gave me, which I'm pretty sure is true, because I talked to everybody separately and they all gave me the same story. So they're like, okay, so they didn't tell me. They told me they were running from the cops because they had drugs and alcohol.
Okay.
And I was like, damn, that's...
Did they have paraphernalia?
No, I don't know. But they didn't have anything on them now. Like, they almost didn't have pants because they were running through so many, like, freaking thorn bushes.
And were earning $50 on the way.
Right. And so...
All right,
I'm like, all right, listen. $10 a piece, I'll give you guys a ride. So, you know, it's not 50, it's $20. So, two guys. So, we're driving. The easiest way from there is you make a turn, you go, just drive down into Old Ellicott City. And right before Old Ellicott City is a gas station. So we're driving down, you know, we're chatting up, we're listening to music on the iPod and stuff, and, you know, we're all giggling because we're all a little fucked up. And all of a sudden, I see, like, as I'm pulling past, the kid who's sitting behind me, whose name is Taylor, I still have his number, actually, because he gave me his number, was like, yo, you're the man, like, call me sometime and we'll hang out. And I never did because he's like 4 years younger than me, which is weird. No, he's like 3 years younger. No, two. I don't know. He's a little.
Not that it would be weird.
Well, no, it's just I didn't know the guy. It didn't matter how old he was. It was doomed to weirddom. So as we're driving past the Shell station, I look and see in the corner of my eye four kids. No, three more kids. And, Taylor, like, grabs my shoulder, and I almost freak out. And he's like, yo, those are my friends! Like, those are the other guys that were with us! So I, like, stop the car real fast, and, like, I pull over to the side. I'm like, yo. I, like, roll down my window. I'm like, y'all need a ride? And, so there's two more guys.
Y'all want to roll with this?
So, yeah. Two more guys and a girl.
Okay.
So the way my car is, you know, this car had three seats in the back, and it actually had a bench seat in the front, so there was a third seat. So the girl sat between us, Doug and I in the front, naturally. And the four boys are in the back. So we go about maybe 30 seconds, and I've told the kids, you know, the $10 service fee. Now, then right after that, I pull over, and I'm like, all right, what the fuck happened? And the girl is explaining this to me. Like, I like stop the car. I'm like, I'm not driving anymore until I find out what's going on, because I do not want to harbor fugitives.
A prudent decision.
And yeah, exactly. And they're like, all right, here's the deal. So I can't. What was the kid's name? I don't. Okay, we're gonna call him Bill. So Bill took his mom's car. He's 15, so he can't even have his permit. So he took his mom's car, and they drove to a field or something like that. And there's this old shack or something in the woods that they brought BB guns and paintball guns.
All right.
And some, like, fireworks and, like, small, like, you know, detonatable things.
So some real boys will be boys type shenanigans going on.
Right, and I'm assuming the girl is there to, like, make sure that the testosterone stays in check.
Good luck with that.
Yeah, right. She's probably just blowing everybody. Anyhow, I really hope she doesn't listen
to
our show.
Let's leave personal judgment.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I'm like, okay, that's, I'm going to be, I was like, guys, I'm going to be honest, like, I don't want to play dad, but that's real dumb. And they're like, well, we're not done. I was like, what? So they're like, well, we had, we had weed in the car, and we had alcohol in the car, and we had the BB guns and the paintball guns, and we also had some shit to, like, actually, like, commit arson.
Okay.
And I was like, what?
Standard arsonist's kit.
Yeah, right. And I was like, wait, so they had, like, either, so they had some combustible fluid, like maybe, it might have been gasoline, I don't remember really, and they were going to light this shack on fire, and while they're, you know, drunk and high, one guy was like, yeah, man, I thought there might be a hobo in it. And I was like, and you thought this was a good idea? He's like, yeah. I was like, oh my God, dude. Okay, whatever. So I was like, all right, so let me get this straight.
All right, this is advanced beyond boys will be boys into straight up felony territory.
Right. So I'm like, okay, you stole your mom's car. You had weed and alcohol. You also had guns. You also had, you know, the tools to commit arson. And
they were considering.
And they were in the woods shooting this house thing with paintballs, and they'd gotten ready, like they were about to burn it when the cops showed up.
They were going to burn down a shack and potentially extinguish a human life.
I'm pretty sure he wasn't in there. I'm pretty sure they were just being drunk. Like,
the fact that that would enter their head.
Yeah. No, it was just one of them. Like, the rest of them, like, all, like, you could tell, like, when he said that, they were all like, what you talking about, Willis?
Okay. We'll name that guy Willis.
Yeah.
So we got Bill and Willis so far.
Yeah. We got Bill, Willis, and Taylor.
So the cop showed up.
And the girl's name's Michaela.
All right.
I remember this because immediately after this incident, the next week she called me because I was old enough to buy birth control and she wasn't. Do you remember that story?
Ooh, boy. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that
and
one.
And we're not going to go into that. So.
Awkward as shit.
Yes. So anyway. We're driving up, and we haven't just started driving yet. So I recap the story, and they're like, yeah, that's what's up. I was like, all right, here's the deal. Pay me now. And they all, like, get in their wallets and stuff, and the girl had money, and one of the guys out of four had money. So I was like, all right, look, I've brought you this far, like, let's just drive up there. Like, if, like, because the girl gave me 20 to, like, cover one of the guys, and the guy gave me 10. So the first kid I drop off was Taylor.
So who didn't pay up? Was it Willis?
Was Willis or Bill. I can't remember. So I take Taylor. Taylor's closest to where we are. So I take him home. And he actually, like, straight up was like, wait here for a sec. And he ran inside and grabbed the 20 and brought it back out to me.
Oh,
and,
all right.
He's a legit dude. Like,
respectable.
Yeah. Totally. So, you know, we take them home. Now, I'm assuming this is where, like, you know, everything starts to get, you know, a little normal because I'm just taking these little, you know, little babies home and, you know, they go, you know. But, and then I remember, after, you know, Taylor gets out and then I'm like, wait a minute, Bill, where's your mom's car? So we pull over in front of Taylor's house. I'm like, Bill, where the hell is your mother's car? And he gives me this sheepish look and he's like,
please don't say they lit it on fire.
No. He's like, I'm pretty sure the cops towed it. And I just cracked up and, like, could not stop laughing for about 2 minutes. Like, Doug and I are both, like, rolling in the front seat. And the girl, like, is sitting between us and she can't help it. So she starts giggling, too. And it's just ridiculous. Like, I did some dumb stuff in high school. But, like, I usually capped it at about the point where I'd, like, maybe light me on fire. Not, you know, an old hobo, you know.
Yeah.
And I didn't steal my mom's car ever.
Oh my God! If I'd taken one of our cars, my dad would have pretty much rendered me unrecognizable.
Yeah, I mean it would have been. You've met my dad too. Like, yeah. God damn, I'm terrified thinking about it now. So anyway, I'm like, Bill, do we need to go find out where the hell your mom's car is? And he's like, No, I'll deal with it tomorrow. Like, I just please take me home because he's next in line. So. Mind you, these kids are too drunk to remember where they live, so the only person who is half sober and knows anything about where we are is the girl in the front seat. So she's piloting us through, you know, 25 minutes of these windy country Howard County roads and shit. And I'm just thinking to myself, how the fuck do these kids run all the way to fucking Cadenceville? Like,
that's a good question.
They must have ran for literally 30 minutes. Like,
wow.
Like, they had to be run, like, because it took about 15 to get to the first person's house, and they were closer than that. So it had to, maybe 20 minutes. Like, obviously, you know, when the fear of God's in you, you're going to run a little quicker.
These were not, just to clarify, like, these were not Kenyans, right?
No, these are, no. Well, the girl was black. She was half black.
So maybe some potential Kenyans.
Yeah, maybe. But she actually, I noticed, like, the whole ride, she's, like, got her hand on her, like, over her knee or something, and she, like, never moves her hand. And if I hadn't, you know, been in a similar state, like, I wouldn't have noticed. But, like she's, like, you know, gesturing, pointing and stuff. And, like, even when she's texting, like, she doesn't use her other hand. She's, like, pointing with, you know, sticking her finger off of the phone and stuff. I'm like, yo, is something wrong with your leg? And she pulls up her hand, and, like, her pant leg is, like, torn about 5 inches, and there's just a gash. And she's, like, you know, not oozing blood, but, like, it doesn't look good. And I was like, what the fuck? And she's like, yeah, I happened to run through the fucking barbed wire. I was like, god oh my damn, girl! God. And I was just like, geez, you kids are so dumb. And she's like, yeah, we are. That didn't actually happen, but we had a moment where we were all just like,
bitches are dumb.
Well, it wasn't even bitches. It was just kids from Howard County. It was fucking HOCO, dude. That's how dumb they are, is that they can't say Howard County all the way through, so they go, HOCO. HOCO, that's catchy. That's much less syllables than Howard County. They've got the money, but not the brains. It's a really bad connection.
I'm staying out of this one. This is not my turf war.
Yeah, this is all right. So we drop off Willis and Bill, and it's just Doug. No, we dropped off. Yeah, no. Okay. No, we didn't drop off Willis yet. Willis is still in the car, but the kid who stole his mom's car is gone. So Michaela gets out and goes back in the back seat with Willis, who was going to be dropped off at her house. So she directs us to her house, and, you know, we get to her house, and they both get out. She's, like, profusely thanking us, and by this point, like, I've gotten all their numbers, and they've gotten mine, and, you know, we're actually chatting, and they're pretty cool kids. Like, they're dumb as fuck, but they're pretty cool kids. And, so at this point, I'm like, okay, the journey's got to be, like, this has got to be it. Like, nothing else can happen tonight. Like, this has just been ridiculous, and I'm up, like, $45 at this point now, because I had to stop for gas on the way home. So now I'm up 60, but I was about to come down. So Doug and I are leaving her place. And mind you, we are in, like, bumfuck Howard County.
Naturally.
Excuse me. And so I kind of get a little lost, like, because I don't know where I am. And, you know, I have a residual intoxication from Doug that, you know, Doug's just screwing me up because there's nothing worse than a drunk.
Damn it, Doug.
Yeah. Have you seen that Dimitri Martin? Is it Dimitri Martin? Nothing worse than a drunk backseat driver.
Yeah.
Turn right. There's a tree. Trust me. But, so, you know, we turn around, and I pull into this, like, court sort of thing. So I'm trying to, you know, pull a three-point turn and stuff. And I'm just getting frustrated because, you know, like, damn it, I don't know where I am. I fucking almost out of gas. These fucking kids are weird and dumb, but they're gone. So, like, it's not like they're, like, watching me, like, call them weird and dumb.
The Doug specters and linger in your
backseat. Yeah, absolutely. Like, dude, they left, like, all sorts of hexes in my car.
Oh, God.
Yeah, damn.
Maybe that's why it died.
Yeah, it's not. Can we not talk about that?
I'm sorry. Too soon?
It's going to be too soon until I die. Okay. So, then, oh, jeez. So I'm turning around the car, and I'm just driving like maybe 15 miles an hour because I'm just relaxing at this point. You know, we turn on some like Daft Punk, and you know it's just, you know, chill grooving right now. And I stop at the stop sign, and just happen to like flick my head to the left to look out my window, and from the two trees that are, like, there's, like, a line of trees, and the two trees closest to me, out from behind, or from between these two trees, walks this big fucking white monster. And I, shit you not, it looked, I'm pretty sure there aren't wolves.
Not a Yeti, right?
No, it was a four-legged beast.
Okay.
It seriously looked like, it looked like a white Great Dane. Like, this is a fucking monstrous beast that walks out and, like, looks in the car, like, looks at me, like, we make eye contact, and I'm just like, shit, like, that's fucking terrifying. So I open my window, and, you know, I'm sort of, like, staring at it, and I'm slowly putting my window down, and Doug...
Now, I have to interject here for a moment. Most people, upon witnessing this four-legged beast, as you call it, their first inclination would be to roll the window up and lock the door, not roll the window down.
Well, most people don't have a drunk person in the passenger seat.
All right, I'm just being the voice of reason here.
Let's continue. I was trying to be the voice of reason, but Doug was
no voice of reason.
Honestly, I didn't try to light it on fire.
That's about all you can ask.
I was actually gonna try to use a WD-40 and a lighter and light the bitch up. So, Doug, is watching me, like, roll up the window, because I, like, turn to Doug real quick to see what he thinks, and I just see his eyes just getting bigger and bigger as the window gets lower and lower, and he eventually is just like, what? And slams my leg down so it hits the acceleration pedal, and we just go, boom, and away from this thing, and I really we're not sure what that thing was, and, then we just went home, back to 7-Eleven, used the money to buy some grubsies, and that was the end of my night.
All right, let me weigh in on this one. Let me take a second here and weigh in on this story. So prior to your encounter with the white wolf, mm-hmm. I was gonna say that it seems to me like you were a supporting character in one of these 80s, 90s teen romp movies. I feel like you were one of those characters who kind of shows up, like, out of nowhere. You were kind of like Deus Ex Machina for these kids.
Yeah. Like, I feel like I make a cameo. Like, if Dazed and Confused had, like, a cameo by, like, Christopher Walken, and he saved, like, the long-haired bitch who gets beat up.
I was actually totally going to say Dazed and Confused.
I try to model myself after the quarterback.
That's not the one played by Matthew McConaughey, is it?
No. But that would be my second choice.
He was a good dude. So I'm saying up until that point, so far I was like, all right, so you're kind of cameo role. You're a supporting character. You're in one scene, you're out the next, and you basically help them get from one point to the next, as any good plot device does. However, the encounter with the white wolf causes me to rethink that and think maybe. You really are the star of this film. Maybe this is because if you were just a bit part, a cameo character, that encounter with the white wolf would not have played into that.
I'm gonna make a point of contention here and ask you not to use the term encounter on the radio.
Okay. You're.
I'm not making a fortitude save.
All right. Fair enough. Your potential run-in with this beast, mm-hmm. this mountain that moves.
Yes.
The beast doth approach.
Oh my god, and that's another story for another day.
Okay. Right on. And so now you are thrust into a situation of no small degree of comedic value, say that. So
I mean, and honestly, like, when I start rolling this window down, I'm just, like, looking into the eyes of this thing, and I sort of felt like, you remember in Lord of the Rings when Frodo fell over? Do you remember that?
That seems to have happened a number of times.
Well, and then
but...
he fell over and he's holding the ring. Do you remember that part?
Oh, okay, yeah.
He falls over and he has the ring and then he sees Sauron. Do you remember? I think that happened, like, what, 12 times?
Of course.
Each movie. Yeah, that's sort of what I felt like.
All right,
like, just mesmerized, so I just, like, kept going deeper and deeper, and then my Samwise, you know, rescued me.
There was a little bit of... This was certainly had the... did he give you head afterwards?
Oh, God. No. Well, no.
All right, then he made another $50. I'm just saying, like, it's interesting to me that as we move through this story, it's whose story is it really? Is it the story of these kids, or is it your story?
I feel like the Sorry,
I mean, it's
all the way across the room now. Sorry, I feel like it's my story. Definitely.
I mean, it's certainly your story in that you're telling it.
But the thing is,
if this were a movie, do you think that?
But see, here's the deal: is that I found these kids while intoxicated, so clearly it's my story.
That's true. Intoxicated or drunk characters can only be there for comic relief.
Yeah.
So,
I felt like almost like Harold and Kumar.
That's
like we just. You know, was it you?
Yeah.
Was it your chair?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Like, there's like a.
It's sound. Entirely possible.
Was it like maybe the back of my spine is like crumbling inside of my head?
It's actually coming from inside your brain. You've been awake long enough that not only are you hallucinating, you're manufacturing sounds.
Remember, if you can remember that story I told, like, back in the beginning of the show about the pond, there was one point where I was just not feeling good at all when we were sitting upstairs. And you, me, and Alex were sitting upstairs. And was Soda there, too?
For a time.
Okay. I remember how I was, like, sitting, like, with my eyes closed and, like, just not speaking to anybody?
Of course.
So, in my head, what I was feeling was basically, like, if you could get right inside my skull and have whatever the top surface is just rotate. It felt like, seriously, like, my brain was just, like, rotating inside my head. Like, it wasn't like I was getting whirlies. It was, like, internally, like, dynamic spins, and it was really like I was not feeling good at all. Like I wanted to eat real bad, and then I started feeling that while I was walking, and I was just like, shit, this is gonna be real rough.
So you've reached a level of sleep deprivation where you're just having full-on psychosomatic trauma, it seems, going on in there. I don't know how you would call that, but you've all,
to be honest, it's
every one
cool.
of your senses, it seems, has rebelled against you.
Yeah. And also, like, weird thing, like, individual toes have been going numb all day.
All right. I think in that case, you, sir, need to get some sleep, and I think it's about time we wrap.
Actually, I've got a pledge meeting in an hour and a half, so I don't have time to sleep. I'll sleep tonight.
You can sleep when you're dead.
That's what, honestly, like, I'd be fine to stay up one more night. Like, I kind of wish I had the fortitude to do so. Like, if I thought today was crazy, man, imagine tomorrow.
You're playing with some malevolent forces here, Tim. I don't know.
I know. If I didn't have a test tomorrow, I'd do it.
I can't tell you how to live your life.
Well, it's not a test. It's a quiz. And it's linear algebra, so it's not like it's going to be too difficult.
Right. I can't tell you how to live your life. All I can tell you is go to sleep, you dumbass.
Huh.
All right. Until next time, I'm Justin Eisenstadt.
And this is Tim Angers.
And we are boldly going nowhere.